just open in prayer, Lord. Yes, Lord, I pray that everything I say has an impact and is from you this morning, and those that hear it really understand where it's coming from. Amen. So, the cat's out of the bag. Joy, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. I sort of let it slip. Sometimes I don't tell you what it's going to be about, but I am doing this morning. We finished our series on 1 Corinthians last week. I hope you enjoyed it. And I've been left with this spur week. When we were doing the rota, Steve said, do something Christmassy. I went, And the rota was sorted out in August. So I'm thinking, August and Christmas, that doesn't really work. I have to wait a bit. So here we are. It's the 9th of December. So who's ready for Christmas? Anybody? Who's ready? Anybody else ready? Anybody else got the tree up? Any trees up? Oh, so more ready than you think. Everybody got their presents?
No.
No? Oh. Yes, Aaron and Paul have their presents all sorted. Who's got them all wrapped? Everybody else has got a lot of work to do then, haven't they? Yeah? Yeah? So, in our house, Angela's been working really, really hard because we have our sort of an annual Christmas do with Peter Morgan and a couple of my friends. And we had it on Friday. So she's worked really hard this week, putting trees up in the middle of all kinds of other things that are going on at her work. Well, thank you for that. It's been super. We had a good time, didn't we, Pete? Yeah, we did. And it's always good. So anybody who wants an invite next year, you can't have one because there's only 6 chairs. But you can come at a different time. Okay. So feeling excited about Christmas. Anybody? No. Yeah. Andy's preaching, he's shaking his head. Pete's yes. Carol's yes. Excited about Christmas? No. Can't wait. No. You all look like this, I think. Play the video.
M-H-A-P-P-Y. M-H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am, I'm sure I am. M-H-A-P-P-Y.
H-A-P-P-Y about Christmas. Not joyful, but what's it like sometimes? Has it become a bit of a chore for you?
Yeah.
You put a lot of effort in. You get presents, you make food, you do all these things for young children that as soon as they open their presents on Christmas Day, go back to their Xboxes and their iPads. And it doesn't matter what you bought and how good you've been about thinking about that present, what they do is go, thank you very much, smile, and go back to their iPad. That's what happens in our house. That's what happens. So this year, the kids have got clothes. They've got clothes this Christmas, and they know they've got clothes because I don't know. I can't buy I don't knows. What do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I don't know. I bought some I don't knows, and they are clothes. Anyway, my hope this morning is that all of us can realise what Christmas can be about if we bring Jesus into it. And not just leave him in that manger in Bethlehem. Okay? I've been a Christian for nearly 20 years now. And in that time, I've never been interested in all the other tribes, shall we call them. The Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Church of England. Never been interested in the differences between them. I've attended this church ever since I became a Christian. So I don't know anything else. Right? I haven't really investigated anything else. The only times where I've been to other churches is when me and Angela have been away at Easter, and we end up going to places like Oxford and Cambridge and Durham, where they have big massive cathedrals, which we visited, but not on a Sunday morning. But what we do is find a local church on Easter Sunday and have visited there. And they've been quite entertaining, some of them. But you do hear an odd word that you don't understand. I didn't understand things like, let's say, the grace and things like that. I don't know what we're talking about because I've never been educated in it. And I'm not sure that I want to. But one word you do hear at Christmas is Advent. And I've never really understood that either. So I did some research for you and for me. What is Advent? So this is what I found on the internet. This is the best explanation, and I'm going to read it out. Advent symbolises the present situation of the church in these last days, as God's people wait for the return of Christ in glory to consummate his eternal kingdom. The church is in a similar situation to Israel at the end of the Old Testament, in exile, waiting and hoping in prayerful expectation for the coming of the Messiah. Israel looked back to God's past gracious actions on their behalf in leading them out of Egypt in the Exodus. And on this basis, they called for God once again to act for them. In the same way, the church during Advent looks back upon Christ's coming in celebration, while at the same time looking forward in eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns to his people. To balance the two elements of remembrance and anticipation, the first two Sundays in Advent through to December the 16th look forward to Christ's second coming, and the last two Sundays, December the 17th to the 24th, look backward to remember Christ's first coming. Over the course of the 4 weeks, scripture readings move from passages about Christ's return in judgment in the Old Testament passages and about the expectation of the coming Messiah to New Testament passages about the announcement of Christ's arrival by John the Baptist and the angels. Does everybody understand that? A bit wordy. Well, there's basically two bits. Before Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. Just think about it like that. And the scriptures go with it. Today is basically the second Sunday of Advent. Technically looking at the second coming of Christ. Okay? I didn't really want to get bogged down in what I should read on the second Sunday. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to be like whatever tribe reads that stuff. So what I wanted, I prayed about it, I thought about it, and I went, are there any psalms about Christmas? That's where I went with it. And actually, there seem to be some. There are three essentially ones. Abigail, Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 97, God reigns, earth rejoices. And Psalm 98, joy to the world, which we all know as a Christmas hymn. And as this morning's about joy, I'm going to get the most joyous person I know to come and read Psalm 98. Come on, Gina.
Thanks.
Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praises to the Lord with the harp. Oh, with your harp and the melodious song. With trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn, make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness.
Thank you, Gina. Joy. His first line of that was, sing a new song. How do you sing? How do you sing your songs? Do you sing pop songs? How do you sing them? Do you enjoy singing them? How do you sing a football match? Yeah? Especially if you're a Liverpool supporter this morning. The top of the league. If you're... I'll get that one. I say, being a Burnley supporter in the Blackburn Church, not easy. Not when they're playing like that this season, though. There we go. Anyway, how do you sing to the Lord on a Sunday morning? How do you do that? Just a challenge for you. How do you sing a Christmas carol? Do you belt them out? I think we really sing our favourites, don't we? I do. I'm like that sort of Oasis in the bath, and all kinds of stuff, which you probably don't want to know, but there you go. It sounds better in there. I sound rubbish in here. The more we enjoy it, the louder we sing, I think, sometimes. And I like to think about the word enjoy. It's enjoy. I don't know the roots of all these sort of things, and I haven't done the research, and I think you'd be bored stupid. But enjoy is enjoy. Yeah? If you enjoy something, you're enjoy when you're doing them things. Do we really know what joy is? Shall we explore it a bit? Yeah? A few nods? Shall we enjoy it? Let's find out what it's about. The definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Some synonyms are delight, jubilation, triumph, exaltation, glee, elation, euphoria, and bliss. That's what I believe God has for you this morning. Joy. That was the first verse. Psalm 98. There's some questions I'm going to ask now, and the answer is right there. I want you to give them me. Okay? First question. Who are you going to sing to?
The Lord.
Jesus.
Okay. Good answer. Why? Because he's what? Because he's done wonderful deeds. What has he done?
He's won a mighty victory.
He has. He's won a mighty victory. And how has he done it?
Saving his
only one verse. Yeah. Amazing. And what should we do?
Sing.
Right, there we go. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, break out in praise and sing for joy. That's in Psalm 98. That's what we should do. because he's done all them things. When I summed up my last message, which was a while ago, about Corinthians, the basics of it was, it was about self-control. And I put this slide up. Abigail. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I said that love and self-control, they bookend these fruits of the Spirit. And you need them both. But Jesus is love. Jesus is self-control. And Jesus is everything on that list. Question. I've said, who, why, what, how. I want us to focus on where we can find joy. Any ideas?
Jesus.
Yes! Hey, Jesus is involved in everything on that list. The second one down is what? Joy. Second one down is joy. Amazing. Start looking for it, you'll find him. Most of us have experienced joy in this room, I would say. Maybe when you got married, maybe when a child was born. I remember when Ryan was born, as probably quite a lot of you do remember. That particularly wasn't very joyous. He was very, very poorly, and we didn't know whether he'd survive. Intensive care and all them things that happen, and the same was the case for Adam as well, because they were both in intensive care in the same, next to each other in the cots. Seeing Ryan and Adam grow up, that brings me joy, because we never might not have had them. Adam. The question is, what is joy? In Galatians it says it's a fruit of the Spirit. So why, as a Christian, do I not feel it more? Why do you not feel it more? I want to suggest that possibly we are looking in the wrong place for it. We've been slightly drawn into the me world or the I world. I think you've probably heard a preach on iPhones and I stuff. I'm not going to do that. The feeling, the definition says a feeling of happiness. If we are not happy, then can we experience joy? I would venture that you can. But generally, we look inwardly for it. And we miss the opportunity of having joy. Our circumstances usually get in the way. That's what usually happens. Steve asked last week if any of us had had an easy year. And not one single person in this room put their hand up. It's not easy, is it? Living in this world. Stuff comes. But we can find joy. We just have to look for it. It can be tough. We've all gone through different kinds of trials this year. We've lost people. We have. We've gone through other things, redundancies and ailments and illnesses and all kinds of trials that have come for us. That's why nobody put their hand up. But can you, through these things, still have joy? I think you can, if you look for it in the right place. I can only speak for myself. I'm going to give a bit of testimony now of where I unlikely found joy in one of these places. Some of you may know, This is my marriage to Angela is not the first time I've been married. I got divorced, I won't go, 10 years ago, maybe, something like that. But before then, the kids were very small. Kerris couldn't speak. Ryan, probably 2. And we decided to move house for a garden for the kids to run in. Tracy thought that was a good idea, went along with it. Yeah, everything fine, no problem. Within 6 months, she'd gone. With the children, I've got a house by myself, 6 times my salary. And I had to find that money. The kids are gone. It was depressing. I had to work every single hour I could possibly do to keep a roof above my head. I spent days walking to work, looking at the floor to see if I could find any money on the floor. It was that bad. It was that bad. I couldn't drive the car. I had to save the petrol to pick up the kids because they'd moved to Preston. My mum bought me a bike so I could get to work. I ended up going to Pete's house for something to eat. I walked out of my dad's house once with a pair of trainers because I had holes in the bottom of my shoes. Difficult. Where do you find joy? Nah. I was put on short time. Steve alluded to last week, I have a testimony. This is part of it. I was giving to the church even though I had no money. My mum says, what are you doing, you idiot? It's a spiritual battle, mum. She didn't understand. Somehow, after that period of short time, I ended up with exactly the same amount of money in the bank that I started with. I have no idea to this day how that happened. That was God. Was it enjoyable, pouring cups of water into a kettle to just boil one because I couldn't afford the electricity? No, it wasn't fun. Not at all. But one night, during this time, Peter Kay had a programme on TV. Well, Abigail, put the slide up for Peter Kay, please. Britain's got the pop factor and possibly, this is funny, a new celebrity, Jesus Christ, superstar, soap star, superstar, Strictly on Ice. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed like I hadn't laughed in years. I had tears rolling down my eyes. I keep this. I have told many people that this is brilliant. I'm not saying it saved my life, but it was absolutely one of the funniest things I have ever seen. At the time, you know what I mean? At this time, you think now, you go, what is it? Britain's Got Talent. Right, and they have a dog's won it. He had this 10 years ago. He'd done this. Simon Cowell must have gone nuts when he watched that program. It was so funny. He has it down to a T. It was brilliant, brilliant. And I recommend you watch it. If you've never seen it, I recommend you watch it. It was brilliant. It was like, this is how it felt. It was like Jesus had given me something to laugh about again. Is that biblical? Jesus Christ, superstar on ice. Maybe not for you, but for me it was. I thought it was fabulous. Did I seek God during this time? Yes, but not immediately. It was after a while. I was mowing the lawn backwards and forwards, pulling up dandelions, because I needed to sell the house. That was the thing. I needed to sell this house. And I was praying, God, please redeem it. 3 years. 3 years of going like that, living like that. That's what I had to do. A long, long time. But God was with me through it. I wouldn't be standing here otherwise. But he gave me joy back. Weird. If you can recall, back in September, when we had the baptisms, I read out Psalm 126. This was when I started doing the research for this preach. And since then, to be honest, I've been struggling with a few issues, to the point where I didn't think I would be able to bring this preach this morning. But where did I eventually look? Back to Psalm 26. 126, sorry, which I'll read out. Come on. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Restore our fortunes. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go and plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. All of us go through trials, don't we? All of us had sad times. We may sow in tears, but we can reap in joy. We are conditioned in our society to think of me first. And I think that's where most of us go wrong. Eugene Peterson, the guy who translated the message for us, wrote this about Psalm 126. We come to God and to the revelation of his ways because none of us have it within ourselves except momentarily to be joyous. Joy is a product of abundance. It is the overflow of vitality. It is the life working together harmoniously. It is exuberance. It is inadequate sinners like we are. None of us can manage that for very long. But there is something that we can do. We can decide to live in response to the abundance of God and not the dictatorship of our own needs. We can decide to live in the environment of a living God and not our dying selves. We can decide to centre ourselves in the God who generously gives and not our own egos, which greedily grab. One of the certain consequences of such a life is joy, the kind expressed in Psalm 126. We have a choice. We can decide to be miserable, or we can decide to be joyful. It's a choice sometimes. This year, we went to New Day I went. Like that. Brand new tent peg. Superb. I'd done lots of planning for it. I thought it was going to be fabulous. Me, Daniel and Ryan drove down early, day early before everybody else. 5 hours, 5.5 hours to get there. After 6 hours being there, I was a broken man. I'd gone from that to that. Because I had 300 tent pegs that looked exactly like that. The ground was like iron. The wind was up. I had a snapped shelter. I was sat in the van when Ryan and Daniel were playing football, because I just told them to just chill. So that's what they did. And I'm sat there with my head on my hands on the steering wheel. I've got a snap shelter, one tent to sleep in. I'm watching Bolton's marquee blow away, and the place was chaotic. And I was I thought, where am I? Look at that. Where's the joy in that? There weren't any. When we did the show meet, it wasn't the teaching during that week. It wasn't the fruit worship. It wasn't the fellowship that we had. That gave me joy. What gave me joy was watching these young people grow. That's what gave me joy. When Ryan, when we did the show meeting, when we came back, I felt that that was one of the most powerful meetings that we'd ever had in this church this year. It was awesome, we good. And Ryan gave his life at the end of that. He didn't do it at New Day. He did it here, amongst his family. It was awesome. I was speechless. I couldn't say anything. Angela had to come up here, and then she started crying. I'd gone from that to that. Now that's a tent peg. That is something that can go through all sorts of things, and now I have 300 of these. Got the right thing. Sometimes you look in the wrong place. Cheap, nasty, save some money. Invest in Jesus, because that's where the joy is. When Ryan gave his wife, was there a party in heaven? I think there were. There were partying here. When you gave your life, was there a party in heaven? So why are you looking miserable? Down here, there's a party going on. It only happened because Jesus did what he did on the cross. He wasn't that. He wasn't this. He was always that. Always that. He saw joy when he sacrificed himself. He saw joy for himself. He saw joy for you, and he saw joy for his Father. May I suggest that joy is a shared experience. Trying to make yourself happy isn't joy. It's self-indulgence. Being with someone in need and seeing them come through it, that's joy. Encouraging someone and seeing them achieve something, that's joy. Seeing someone come to Christ, that's joy. Seeing a young child get up on Christmas morning, that's joy. The looks on their faces. It's a shared experience, is joy. Not one on your own. Started off with Advent, really. We look forward to the second coming of Jesus. And we also look back when he first came to be with us. Jesus is coming back, people. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I've challenged you a bit. I'm not the most joyous person when I get up here. But Jesus is coming back. Do you want to be like figures? H-A-P-P-Y. Do you really? Or do you want to be joyous? Don't be H-A-P-P-Y. Be joyous this Christmas. Enjoy it. Share it. Be with people. Come here next week. Get a chair. Come early. It'll be fabulous. I'm going to wrap it up there. Some of the things I might have said might challenge you. You know, people go through difficult things at Christmas where loved ones aren't here. And I understand that. And I don't want to be frivolous about it, because it can be very difficult. You may need prayer for that. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, Adam, isn't he? Yeah. Jesus is coming back, Christian, isn't he? That's what we're going to think of. Jesus is coming back. We're going to sing Joy to the World, based on Psalm 98. Steve's going to come up, Christian's going to come up, Fiona's going to come up. Let's sing Joy to the World, because Jesus is joy, and joy is Jesus.